So we are starting a brand new series called Jude. Has anybody read the book of Jude before? Now here's a little challenge for you. If you ever put in your heart, you know what, I want to read an entire book of the Bible. You know what, you can do this afternoon. You know why? Because the book of Jude is only one chapter, right? And so that is something you can have under your belt. Hey, I read a book of the Bible, the entire book of Jude. Amen. But it is a short letter to the church in his time. And an interesting thing about Jude, he's known also as Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but Judas, another apostle of Jesus. Now, Judas Iscariot, we know what he did, and he was the son of perdition, and he betrayed Jesus. For silver, he wants some money in his bank, and so he betrayed the living God, the Son of the living God. He betrayed him. We're not talking about that Judas or Jude this morning. We are talking about a faithful follower of Jesus. Amen. And so his name, Jude, actually came about because they didn't want him to be affiliated with Judas Iscariot. So to prevent any confusion, we come across Jude. Amen. So, how many guys know that Jude is also the brother of James, but he's also the brother of Jesus? How many guys got brothers in this place? How many guys got brothers, sisters? You got siblings? Well, Jesus had some siblings as well. If you don't believe me, in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, 55, it says, whenever they are questioning Jesus, they heard him speak, and like they were just so astounded and so amazed, and like, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas? So here we find the brother of Jesus, writing this story, or writing this letter, rather, to the church at that time. It's interesting because when you consider the fact that Jesus had two disciples named Judas, one was for a vessel of honor, the one that we're going to read about today. The other was the vessel of dishonor, Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. And in the book of Romans, we see this idea that God uses one vessel for honor, and he uses another vessel for dishonor. In Romans 9, 21 to 23, it says, "Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath, and to make known his power, has endured much patience, vessels of wrath, prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory." And so God raises up one Judas, Judas Iscariot, for vessel of dishonor, if you will, because ultimately Jesus had to die. He had to die for our sins, and this was God's plan. And so in order for Jesus to die, There must be a betrayer. And so even though Judas Iscariot was a vessel of dishonor, if you will, he was still used to fulfill God's big purpose. And so we don't understand that. We don't get that. But we must accept that it is true, that God will raise up one vessel for honor and one vessel for a dishonorable use. Jude today, however, is a vessel of honorable use. And so the Lord is using him to address some issues that he sees in the church. So what's going on in the church during Jude's time? Well, there had been some false teachings that had come about. And so it began to water down, if you will, or affect the gospel, the authentic gospel that was being preached during that time. And so you had these false prophets that arose during the time of Jude, and they began to infiltrate the church. And so you had all these different philosophies and different teachings, and people were starting to believe these things. And, the gospel, in a sense, had kind of lost some of its effectiveness because they allowed things into the church. And so today, as we read the book of Jude, keep in mind that it is a response to what's going on in the church at that particular time, how these false prophets had arisen, and Jude is granted the task of addressing these issues in the church. So turn your Bible to the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. And we will only look at Jude chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, two verses, but I think there's so much meat in these first two verses that we can just kind of rest here this morning. Anybody like some good meat? I mean, you had crawfish over the weekend, right, for Good Friday, but man, it's nothing like a good steak every now and then, right? And so hopefully we're going to dive into some the juices, the steak of the book of Jude this morning. Amen. Now all of you guys are hungry and thinking about steak. Jude chapter 1, it says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. So Jude, first of all, that he is willing to put his name on this particular letter. Now, you might not see any significance in this, but during this time, there was a lot of persecution amongst Christians. You know, Christians were being persecuted. Jude says, you know what, I'm going to write this letter, and it's going to address some issues in the church, and I'm not scared to put my name on it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the effects that the gospel has on people's lives. I'm going to start off by putting my name so that there's no confusion. It's Jude who wrote it. And so are we that bold to say, you know what, I stand on the gospel. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm willing to put my name out there. And so you can test this by just going and check out your Facebook feed or your social media feed. You know, is there something about Jesus on it, right? Are you unashamed of the gospel of Jesus? Jude says, I am a follower of Jesus, and he puts his name on it. And then he says, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now, going back to the social media thing, if we were the brother of Jesus, you know we would be taking selfies with Jesus. Hey, Jesus, and posting it all over Facebook, right? Like, hashtag brother of Jesus. Hashtag, you know, look at me. Hashtag, you know, you wish you were with Jesus. No, he says, instead of being affiliated with the fact that I am his brother or half-brother, I rather, and to think about that, that's only temporal, right? To be in the physical, to be attached, to have this attachment in the physical realm, being his brother. No, we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. But no, Jude says, you know what? It is more important for me to be affiliated with the fact that I am a servant of Jesus. I am a servant of Jesus. Now, that's a little bit different, right? That has a more of an eternal value whenever we consider ourselves a servant of Christ. And so a bondservant back in the day, you know, you would, if you were the possession of your master. In other words, you didn't decide what you wanted to do. You did what the master wanted you to do, right? And so to be a servant in this particular sense, it comes from the word doulos, the Greek word doulos, which is a term used by the apostles whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. So Jude says, you know what, I'd rather be a servant of Christ. I'd rather be identified as a servant of Christ. If I'm going to be identified as anything, let it be a servant of Christ. Let it be the fact that, look, he has bought me with a price. He has paid a tremendous amount. He has laid down his life. He has bought me with a price. I don't belong to myself anymore, but I belong to him. I'd rather be a servant of Christ. Amen? Rather than affiliating with him in the natural. And so we see that, like in the book of John, chapter 20, verse 29, this is when Jesus is addressing Thomas. He says, Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. And so there's something that can be said in the physical realm. It's one thing to have one level of faith whenever you can see something, but whenever you cannot see anything, like all of us in this room probably have not seen Jesus in the flesh. But you are here, he said, blessed are you because you believe and you have not seen. And so there is something more meaningful in the spiritual realm. Just as with Jude, he says, you know what, I'd rather be a servant of Christ because that has eternal value. And so how about you? Would you identify yourself as a servant of Christ first and foremost? Or are there other things that identify you, like your job, your money, your status, how many kids you have? and different things. And so we have all these things that identify us, but are we saying, you know what, first and foremost, I am a servant of Christ. Let that be my identity. Let that be where I find my worth in my life. Amen. So we know where is it coming from. It's coming from Jude, who calls himself a servant of Christ and the brother of James. So he mentions James too. He gives them some props. Oh, you have James, my brother. Then he says, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. So we find out who who it's written by. It's written by Jude. Now we find out who it's written for. It's written for those who are called, for those who are beloved by God. How many guys are called in this place? In other words, you've been called out of darkness. You've been called into his marvelous light. You have been set apart, amen? You know, there's a calling on your life. Whenever you look at this word in the King James uses the word sanctified instead. And it comes from the Greek word hagiazo, which means to purify internally by a reformation of the soul. In other words, there's something going on the inside of you. God is transforming you. God is sanctifying you. He is bringing you from one level of glory to another level of glory. You can look back in your life and say, surely the Lord has done a work in my life. Guess what? You are called. You are sanctified. You are the chosen of God. Amen. And so he's writing to those who are called. He's not writing to unbelievers. He's writing to those who are called by God. And as Christians, as believers, we are called out of this world, right? We are called to represent Christ on our job, you know, at our school. Wherever it is that we find ourselves, we are called to be distinct and to be separate, to be different from this world. We are not to look like this world. We are not to act like this world. We are not to speak like this world. We have nothing to do with this world. We are called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen. And so there's this reformation of the soul that takes place in those who are called. This is the group that Jude is writing to. The next phrase that he says, not only to those who are called and beloved, but those who are kept for Jesus. How many guys are being kept for Jesus? In other words, I have no dealings with this world. I have nothing to do with idols. I am kept for Jesus. I have nothing to do with sexual immorality. I am kept for Jesus. I have nothing to do with drunkenness. I am kept for Jesus. I have nothing to do with the things of this world because I am kept. I am preserved like a treasure. I am kept for Jesus. First Thessalonians, and here's the best thing about this. You're not kept by your own strength. You're kept by Jesus. You're kept by the one who actually called you. Let's look at it in 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. So the one who calls you out of darkness is the one who is able to keep you from darkness. He is faithful to keep you to the end. In other words, the Lord is so committed to you, and he is so committed to you making it to the end, that he will give you that which you need. He will give you the strength that you need. Whenever you feel like you cannot go on, whenever you feel like life is too much, guess what? He is the one who keeps you. And he says, you might be experiencing this right now, but look, you are still mine. You are still my possession, and I still love you, and I still have a plan for you, and I will not let you go. I will hold on to you. I will keep you and make sure you make it to the end. And if that's not something to shout about this morning, I don't know what is. Amen? But that the Lord keeps us, and he is committed to that. And so we see in this first opening verse, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, who is writing to those who are called, those who are beloved of God, to those who are being kept by Jesus. So now he begins to give us maybe some instruction on how to deal with everything that's going on in that church at that time. And remember, there's a bunch of false prophets arising. And if we can look at false prophets, we can say They're evil, right? They're of Satan. They're not portraying the truth. They are of the devil. And so they find themselves in the midst of evil, of an evil generation. And if we were to take a look at around us, we too can say, you know what? We are surrounded by evil, it would seem. You turn on the news, I mean, every single day, it seems, now that there's a shooting, you know, and multiple people are being killed and injured. Every single time that we turn on the news, there's something evil that we see in this world today. And I want you to know that the Lord is the one who keeps you, and he will see you to the end. Jesus' instruction to the church is this. He says, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Probably not the answer they were thinking, right? And like if you're writing and you're trying to solve the world's problems and you're trying to figure out why is there so many false teachings in this church, probably the answer you're looking for is not may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied unto you. You're probably thinking, well, we need to get a band of soldiers over there, you know, armed with swords, and we're just going to wreak havoc and just start all over, and we're just going to have like this new church, right? And we're just going to get rid of everyone else. Jews like, no, you need to be multiplied. You need to have a multiplied dose, if you will, of mercy. You need to have a multiplied dose of peace and a multiplied dose of love. And in order to bring about the change that you're wanting to see in your community, in your world, Jesus says, I'm not looking at the world. I'm not looking at the evil that's around you. I am looking at the church. I am looking at you. I'm looking at your responsibility to be multiplied in mercy, to be multiplied with the peace of God, and to be multiplied in his love. We want the world around us to change. God says, I'm starting with you. I'm starting with the church. You need more of the Spirit of God in your life to be changed from the inside, that you would radiate to the outside. You know, if we focus so much on the world, trying to change the world, God's like, the world will change whenever they will see true Christians. Whenever they will know you by your love that you have one towards another, is what the Bible says. That they will see, Lord, this is a shining light. This is a good example of what Christ looks like in the earth. To bring about the necessary change, Jude says, you need to look at the inside. So let's look at this. We know our battle is not with flesh and blood, as the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities and against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Jude would say, your battle is not with other people. Your battle begins by being merciful. Now, that's not always fun, right? Like, do you have someone in your life, and you can be honest, this is church, do you have someone in your life that you just find it difficult to portray mercy to this person, right? And whoever it may be, you just, every time you come around, like, Lord, I just need another dose of mercy. But that's the thing, right? We want mercy from God. We want God to be merciful towards us. God, forgive me of my sins. God, help me, Lord, with this thing that I'm dealing with. God, I need some financial provision. We want God to work on our behalf. We want God to show us mercy, but we're like not showing mercy to everyone else. And James would say it's good. If we want to see the change take place, that we need to be multiplied, if you will, have a multiplied dose of mercy. The consequences for not doing so is found in James 2:13. It says, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So if we want God to be merciful towards us, we too must have to be merciful towards others. And so Jude, in this particular church, in this early church, he was saying, look, first be merciful. Be merciful to them. Be merciful to those who have infiltrated the church. Be merciful. Show them mercy. Why? Because God has shown you mercy. Because God has loved you. Because God has forgiven you of a lot. Therefore, you too need to walk in mercy. And so the next thing is that he says that not only be multiplied, a multiplied dose of mercy, but also of peace. Now, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. We strive for peace. And so on top of this, Jude says, look, I want you guys, on top of mercy, I want you to walk peaceably as much as is within you to be peaceable with these people. And so, again, now we see how the Lord is really wanting to bring about this change. It's not addressing the outside, but it's addressing the inside, addressing the church, addressing the issues in the church. We are to abound in mercy. We are to be walk in peace. Charles Spurgeon says this, the man who is at perfect peace with God, who is at perfect peace with his own conscience, who is at peace with all his fellow men, who especially cultivate peace by behaving himself aright in the household of God, this is the man who is strong in the midst of unrest and turmoil. You know, it's a wonder that we're able to go through things like COVID and Hurricane Ida and all these things that try to compete and disrupt your peace. But if you are found in Christ, if you are the called, the elect of God, then guess what? He is living on the inside of you, and you have the peace which you need to make it through anything. And this world is contending and competing to rob you of that peace. The devil doesn't want you to have peace with God and peace with people, and he is trying to prevent that from happening. But Jude encourages the church, he says, in order to overcome these issues, abound in peace. Have peace in your life. Don't let anything take the peace that God has placed in there. Don't let nothing steal your peace. Amen? And thirdly, he says to abound, not only in mercy, not only in peace, but in love. For God is love. 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So not quite the way that we thought that Jude would maybe, you know, begin to instruct this church. But he says this is exactly what is needed, because this is the character of God. If we are to be Christians, if we are to see our world affected, we first need to be impacted by him. We need his mercy, and that way we can demonstrate mercy. And as we demonstrate mercy, guess what? He gives you even more mercy. We need to be peaceable as much as we can with others. And as you are peaceable, as you are walking in peace, he gives you his peace. And we need to abound in the love of God. And as you begin to pour out your love towards others, that the Lord just continually pours out love towards you. One more thing from Charles Spurgeon. He says, the best protection against surrounding evil will be the cultivation of a right state of heart and life, a continual growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. You want to be protected by the evil that's around you? You want to be guarded and shielded from all that is going on around you? Start a relationship with the Lord. Strive for peace, his peace that comes in your life. Abound in love, abound in mercy. And this is a really good start, you know, not only to the book of Jude, but to our lives as we too find ourselves in this place where we're battling evil each and every day. Amen. So what does this mean for you and I? Jude chapter 1, 1 through 2 again. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. Do you consider yourself, do you identify as a servant? Is that the first and foremost thing in your life, to serve God, to serve Jesus with your life? And brother of James, to those who are called, are you called this morning? Has God called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light? Beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus. Jesus is holding you. He has a hold on you. He's not going to let you go. You belong to him, and he is yours, and you are his. He's not going to let you go. He is keeping you to the end. So has your identity been wrapped up in anything other than Christ? Would you consider yourself a servant of Jesus Christ? If you are kept for Christ, how does that impact your daily life? And have you struggled with giving mercy, walking in peace, or demonstrating love towards others? Now, I have this little demonstration I want to give you guys. Can everyone over there see over here? Yeah, y'all good? All right. Awesome. So I had this bottle of purified water. I drunk half of it so that I can do this little illustration. If I can get someone to help me, Carlo, thank you so much. Y'all give a hand to Carlo. All right. All right. If you can open up that bottle of water, I really appreciate it. All right. Very good. Give it up. The man knows how to open up a bottle of water. And by the way, he's working at Rouse's in St. Charles. And so if you want to go mess with him, he's there normally. I'm just picking. All right. So we want you to take this bottle of water, put it right here. Take this funnel, put it right here. All right. Now we want to open up this oil. All right. And we're just going to pour some oil in there. Just try not to make a mess. I'm going to help you out. All right, so open up the oil. We're going to pour a little oil up in there. Yeah, it's just regular motor oil, just 5W30. Good stuff. Used for illustration. That's good. Thank you so much. All right, now we're going to put the cap back on this. All right, tighten it up really good and just hold right there for 1 second. All right, so we have this oil. Everybody can see my oil and my water. You see that they don't mix, right? And so if we look at the water, we can consider this the authentic purity of the gospel. And you look at this oil, maybe we think of this as some of the polluted things that was going on in the church, some of the evil around us, even in Jews' day. And so as much as you try to shake this up and try to mix them up together, what will always happen? They will always separate, right? Because the word of God stands alone, amen? And so anything that you try to add to the word of God, it's not going to stick because God stands alone. And I can try and mix it up and shake it up really good, but every single time it will separate. And that's because the word of God is absolute and there's nothing that can be added to the word of God. So this was Jude's way of dealing with this. And so he said, look, we got to get this oil or we got to get this filth out of the church. And so how are we going to do this? And so again, we talked about addressing the inside, addressing the issues on the inside of the church. Now, what we're going to do, now I could possibly pour out, the oil and, that's not really going to do the job like I need it to. So the way that we are going to clean out this filth and this oil from this bottle or from this church is we're going to be filled up on the inside. Can you also open up this one? Thank you very much. And hold this up. Just begin to pour the water on top of this. And as you can see, as he's pouring this out, the oil is just coming out of the bottle. So we're changing from the inside. And eventually, you can see the water is getting clearer and clearer and clearer. And it's getting clearer. It's almost clear now. Look at this. And so it is completely just about clear. And so that's what Jude is saying. Hey, look, and if we're going to bring the change, the necessary change that needs to take place, we're going to start on the inside. We're going to start on the inside. We're going to start with us. Amen. And Lord, today, would everyone just bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Lord, today, as we looked at the first two verses of Jude, Lord, you have called us. We are your called. We are your people. We are your children. And so, Lord, today, we know and we trust in the fact, God, that you will keep us to the end, even whenever we see evil around us. And Lord, that the way that we are to deal with this evil is to be multiplied with a dose of grace and mercy towards others. Help us, oh God, as I don't do this perfectly. Help me, oh God, to be more merciful, just as you were merciful to me. And perhaps there's someone that comes to your mind right now that you're having a hard time forgiving. You're having a hard time bringing mercy. But the Lord would say, you need to forgive that person this morning. You need to let it go. You need to demonstrate mercy to this person as I have demonstrated mercy to you. Furthermore, there are things in this life that are competing to rob you of your peace. Fight, contend for the faith, fight for your peace. In other words, maintain peace with every effort, with all that is within you. Maintain peace. Lord, would you help us to do that and to do that well with those whom we struggle to have peace? Lord, that you would begin the work that you want to do on the inside of us, and that it would begin to radiate. It would begin to impact those around us. It would begin to impact the evil around us as the church rises up. And Lord, that we would abound in your love one towards another. God says you loved us with an unconditional love. You gave your son to die on the cross for our sins whenever we did not deserve. We were sinners. We mocked you. We ridiculed you. Lord, our sin was before you, and yet you loved us. You loved us. Lord, we did not deserve your love, but you loved us anyway. Help us, Lord, to demonstrate that same love towards others. Change us from the inside out, oh God, that we will begin to impact this world around us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are doing a work right now in someone's heart, that you are changing someone's life right now, that you are filling them with the love of God. Lord, they might not have ever experienced your love before, but Lord, right now, I believe, God, that you are touching them, and that they are experiencing your love in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus, there's someone who just needs the peace of God in their life. That peace has been gone. It's been robbed from you. That the Lord would restore that this morning and you would have peace. Lord, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for what you are doing in this series, in this church. Lord, would you continue to call us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Help us, Lord, to walk the straight and narrow. Lord, to put you first always, to live for you. Lord God, to be the shining light, to be the example on our workplace. Lord God, at our schools, wherever we find ourselves, Lord, that we would demonstrate the character of God. Help us, oh God, in our areas of weakness. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you that you are the one who keeps us and that you are committed that we make it to the end. And so, Lord, we just thank you and let God's people say amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Would you go with Jesus and showing love and mercy and